Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon and welcome to the Pfizer First Quarter Analyst Teleconference. We have with us today Mr. S. Sridhar, Director of Finance, and Mr. Pranjeet Nayar, Company Secretary from Pfizer Limited. As a reminder, for the duration of this conference call, all participant lines are in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions at the end of today's presentation. Should anyone need assistance during this conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on their telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to hand the conference over to Mr. S. Sridhar of Pfizer. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks a lot. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Quarter 1 Earnings Analyst Call. My name is Sridhar. Kewal is not available, so I'll be taking all your questions. To start with, we published our results on 1st of August. Before I share the results with you, just to tell you, as for the OH IMS, we have clocked about 14% growth. The market has also slowed down from a peak of around 20-odd%. IMS is reflecting a growth of 14.2% MAT May. As for MAT May, MNCs, Indian companies, Pfizer, all are growing at more or less the same 14% rate. The industry has slowed down as per IMS data month on month, and consequently, Pfizer also has been in line with the market growth there. However, all the therapeutic areas continue to log on a double-digit growth as per OAG IMS, and Pfizer has also logged on a decent growth in most of the therapeutic areas as per OAG IMS there. In terms of our results now, we have reported a top-line growth of 14% and a profit from operations up by 16% for the quarter. The profit after tax is up 19%, and the profit as a percentage of sales after tax is 17% versus 16% last year quarter. In terms of our sales by divisions, the pharmaceutical business and the animal health have grown around 14% growth for the quarter, with a 3% pricing and 11% volume growth. Most of our key products have done reasonably well in terms of our performance, both in terms of animal health and as well as in terms of pharmaceuticals products there. In terms of our new products, we have clocked down close to about 8 crores of sales in the first quarter. When I say new products, I mean products launched in the last 1.5 years, 2 years, which we call it the branded generics there. Around 8 crores is a sale, which represents roughly around 3% of our sales. And in animal health, about 1.27 crores of new products has come in there. During the quarter, we launched about 4 products there. We have launched a new CNS team. We have launched a new diabetic team. We also launched some BVOs and anti-infectives in an area. So our branded generic strategy continues to grow. Over the last few years, 2 years, we have probably about 20 products that are launched, and that's the strategy going forward. In terms of other operating income, the only change is the income come from Wyeth for the services we're rendering to them for sales promotion expenses. That's what leads to an increase by 55% in the quarter. Otherwise, all the other factors remain more or less the same there. In terms of total expenditure, we were around 90% of sales last quarter. We're 92%. The movement is basically coming in from other expenditure, which moved about 1 percentage point. The consumption as a percentage of sales remains the same, and the growth is 15%, and the employee cost is around 14%, around 24% of sales there. In terms of other expenditure, the growth is around 20-odd%, primarily driven by some advertising campaigns for a couple of our products there. Other than that, we don't have any major increase in other expenses for the quarter. The other income is more or less same. The interest income has improved by about 6 crores, whereas we had a one-off credit last quarter on royalty income, which is no longer there. So at overall level, the other income remains more or less at 3% growth. There is no change in our tax rates. It's more of the same. And our balance sheet also remains in the same good health as it was. So that's all I had as an overview of our performance. I am happy to take on any questions.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question at this time may please enter star followed by one on their touchtone telephones. If your questions are answered, you may withdraw a question from the queue by pressing star followed by two. Participants are requested to please use handsets while asking a question. To ask a question, please enter star then one now. The first question is from the line of Bhavin Shah of Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Hi, Sridhar, sir. Just on the industry, a broad-based question. You've seen a slowdown. Any specific therapeutic segments that is leading to a fall, and how do we combat that?
So the anti-infectives reflected a lower growth for the quarter as per RGIMS. It's growing around 12.5%. And even the respiratory is reported growing at 10.2%. So these two are the two segments which is actually growing lower than the market, and hence and anti-infective is being the biggest chunk of the market size. So any drop in there, anti-infective has drop impact the market growth.
So the chronic side of it is growing as per it was.
Yeah, so anti-diabetic is growing at 22% as per them. Cardiac is doing reasonably well. So that's doing well, yeah.
Okay, now the flagship products doing in our case, because it's Corex, so this quarter of the performance?
Corex has done very well. Corex has done pretty well. We are locked down close to about 19% growth there. Because it's flat, we had some challenges in the last two quarters, like I told you. But however, this quarter it's flat growth. Hopefully next quarter with some added sales trade schemes, etc., we should be able to see some better growth next quarter.
Great. And on the branded generic side, I think the aggressive push continues to remain with new products being launched.
Yes, push continues. I don't know, aggressive or not, that's your definition, but push definitely continues. We keep launching products every quarter.
Fantastic. So I'll be in the queue. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shah. Our next question is from the line of Girish Bakru of HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, just wanted more color on what are the new launches, if you can elaborate some planned for the next quarter of fiscal.
We don't comment on the future launches, Girish, unfortunately. But I can definitely tell you that what we have done in the past.
Right.
What we have done is, we have been in the branded generic strategy for the last 2 years, and this quarter we launched about close to about four products this quarter. They're basically in diabetics and CNS segment. Prior to that, we launched an anti-infectives. We also got into Lovenogistil, which is the emergency contraceptive, and we've also got to analgesic. So it has been across various therapeutic areas in terms of nutritional, multivitamins, CNS, anti-infective, diabetes, and CNS.
Right. But can you comment on how many products can come, say, in this year? How many more products can come?
Like I said, no, this quarter has seen about 4 to 5 products coming in this quarter. So hopefully things work out, we should be able to launch similar lines going forward.
Right. And just generally, broadly, I mean, there were some comments from Pfizer on its earning call, the parent company, that after some of the recent restructuring programs, they might kind of, do more pushes on the consumer health side as well. So any broad sense that you are getting where the strategy for the parent company lies, and if that can affect broadly the Indian company?
Not really. I think what they committed as of now restricted them to animal health and nutrition business. That's what they have said. They're looking at strategic options, and that's the information what I have as of now.
Right.
In relation to India, we do have animal health business as part of Pfizer Limited. So as and when a decision takes place, we'll have an impact here on animal health.
And can you, I mean, comment on the launch of Prevnar? I know the product came from Wyeth, but can you comment on the launch of Prevnar 13 in India?
No, Prevnar 13 is a Wyeth product.
Right, yeah. I was just wondering if you can broadly show.
I wouldn't want to comment on the Wyeth performance in the Pfizer call, please.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bakru. Our next question is from the line of Gokul Maheshwari of Allied Partners. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question, sir.
Yes,
sir. You've given the clarification that the ongoing sales for the pharma business is around 14%. But as you launch more products and given the investment which you've done in the business of adding more people, do you expect to accelerate the sales growth in the times to come?
That's the intent, Mr. Maheshwari. I think we are adding people basically with intent to grow. We have had, first of all, when we started our market expansion strategy 2 years back, like I said, we have had a lower therapeutic area coverage, okay, mm-hmm. and that we are trying to cover up through branded generics. Okay, that's one. Second, as a geography, we have not been covering the geographies where we should be covering. So the additional people have actually helped us to increase the geography of our products also. So combination of these two should see us a good growth in terms of it. Yes, it will take some time because we just started adding in about a year and a half back, but they all come in spurts, you know. The CNS and diabetes team is as old as 3 months old, you know. That's about 300 people there. And therefore it will see a consolidation, but it will take some time to really catch on the productivity. It takes 2 years to be productive fully, you know.
That actually was my second question. What would be your hiring plans for the current year in terms of the medical reps?
I think major hiring is done. If at all we hire, we'll be hiring in smaller teams for meeting a requirement. But a major additions for a therapeutic area has been done for the time being.
So which means that perhaps in the second half of their year, current year, we could see some productivity gains from these?
That's your guess, your analysis. I wouldn't want to comment on the future earnings.
Okay, fair. And just some data points, sir. One is, if you could help us with the April to March last year's annual sales number, because you've given the sales growth in the annual report, but it's a 16-month number. If you could help us with the actual April to March number.
Actual April to March number. Just one second. What's the sales number, right?
Yes.
Give me some. I'll give it back to you.
Lastly, sir, when you promote the sales of Wyatt through your teams, the reps which were transferred from Wyatt to Pfizer, does it get reported in your sales number or you just get an operating commission for that?
No. Basically, the products continue to belong to Wyatt. If we want to bring in a standard as a Pfizer, we would like to see a standard sales operating process and systems across the country, and hence the employees sitting out here enable us to have a consistent policies there. Hmm. The sales kind of get reflected in Wyatt itself.
Okay.
If we just get a costless market.
Okay. Thanks a lot, and all the best for the rest of the year.
Thank you, Mr. Maheshwari. Our next question is from the line of Ranjit Kaparia of Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Sir, this is regarding Corex and Bicozil. As for the OIG, we have seen 2% growth in Corex and 5% growth in Bicozil.
I agree. There's under reflection, over reflection in OIG IMS. Our internal growth rate for Corex is higher than that, and for Bicozil, it's lower than that. So.
And, sir, my second question is regarding the cash which is there in the books. What is the average yield on cash? And with the increasing interest rate scenario, how do you see the effective utilization?
I'm getting around 8.5% on average now, Ranjit, now, thanks to the improved interest rates there.
Okay.
And obviously, we are putting into banks, which are giving us improved returns.
Okay. Thank you very much and all the best, sir.
Thanks, Ranjit.
Thank you, Mr. Kaparia. Our next question is from the line of Sudarshan Padmanabhan of BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
So with respect to your newer therapeutic areas, now we have entered diabetes and oncology. Now, what are the new other therapeutic areas that, Pfizer will be tapping probably in the next 3 to 4 quarters? Second is, how many MRs have you added this quarter and what is your current MR base?
Okay, Sudarshan, just that oncology is not a segment we've got ourselves into. Okay, that's not a segment. We got ourselves into diabetes, CNS is a new segment. I mean, CNS we had portfolio, but we're broad-basing our portfolio, and hence we're getting a dedicated team to focus on CNS as a therapeutic area. Diabetes becomes a dedicated focus area, along with insulin, which will come in shortly. So therefore, it becomes diabetes oral plus insulin. These two are the new areas. The other areas, we are present, but we are improving our presence in anti-infectives, vitamins and minerals supplement, and also in analgesic. So these are the segments we are getting ourselves into. So more, and this is what would be our forte going forward.
And sir, regarding the MRs, I mean, how many MRs have you added and what is it?
The MRs, in the last 3 months, we just built up the insulin and diabetes team, which they came in between the period of January to April. They spanned over the last 4 months' time. So around 150 people came in for diabetes and 150 for diabetes, CNS and diabetes.
And the current MR is how much, sir?
Roughly 2,500.
Around 2,500. And, I mean, coming to the pneumococcal vaccine space, that's Prevnar 13. Now we are talking about, you know, Synflorix being launched, Synflorix to be launched by GSK, and, you know, yesterday there was a news on Merck tying up with Serum for a pneumococcal vaccine. Now, how do you see the competition spanning out in this space?
Sudarshan, Prevnar is a Viad product. I wouldn't be able to talk on this product in a Pfizer call, please, if you don't mind.
Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Padmanabhan. Our next question is from the line of Nalina Kanthi of Sundaram Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Sir, would like to just understand if there is any one-off, you know, revenue that we have booked in terms of the service income that we would receive from Wyatt, or is this the recurring run rate that we can probably assume?
In which line? Other income?
Yeah, other operating income is where we show that, right?
Yeah,
service income. Yeah. So is that
other operating income currently consists of what I get income from trials, from clinical trials.
Okay.
And also what cross charge, what fee I get from Wyatt for supporting them.
Okay.
To extent the clinical trials should be more or less depends on the number of trials we do for the parent company. So
okay.
more or less is consistent, but if there are any higher trials in a particular quarter, you get a higher income.
Okay.
Wyatt is in relation to the time spent. So that also, the last year quarter didn't have the full impact.
Okay.
This quarter seems to be getting a full impact, and it's more of a cost plus kind of a thing, so that should be more or less consistent.
Okay. So this can, we can probably annualize the same run rate, the quarterly run rate.
I suppose.
Okay. Sir, in terms of branded generic business, what is our strategy on the pricing front? Are we looking at, you know, being in line with, you know, the competition, or would we be pricing our products at a premium? Just to understand, you know, would we like to leverage our brand equity with doctors through a premium pricing, or just to understand what our strategy is over there?
We have got ourselves into branded generics as a portfolio gap, what we have. And hence, it's important for us to increase our market share in those therapeutic areas where they're not present. So therefore, we want to launch the product at a price which is affordable, which is optimum. So it's not so pricing is not a play there. It's more in terms of fixing at the right price for the current market share and current people who are there. So that's where it is going to be.
Okay. And this quarter, in terms of our pharma business, margins seems to have, contracted a bit. So if you could just explain, the reason for that, and are we seeing pricing pressure in any of our key products or specific therapeutic segments? If you could just help us understand, as to whether this is the kind of sustainable margins that we can look at, or...
But I haven't seen any drop in margins this quarter and where you're coming from.
Yeah, if you look at the segmental EBIT margin that we have reported, so this quarter we are looking at 21% for the pharma business.
Yeah.
Vis-a-vis, if we look at the, though may not be strictly comparable, but we are looking at around 22% in May.
Hmm.
So I was just wondering, and sequentially, March quarter has also been very strong for us, 27% kind of margins.
Yeah, March quarter was very strong because that was the annualized year ending. If you see the material costs were lower in that quarter, there are issues there.
Right.
But roughly a 1 or 2% will always keep moving around because of the expense base, what we have, adding people.
Right.
There's a mix of sales, what we get for the quarter. So therefore, it's an effect of because of the flat growth this quarter.
Okay.
So even if we had some growth there, you would see that change coming in there. So it's purely a factor of product mix and product growth.
Okay. So our gross margins on an average, what would be the normal margins that we can assume, sir?
Roughly around 35 to 36% is our cost of
raw material cost.
So okay. That has been the trend what we have been having.
Okay.
So that's where it is.
Okay. So in terms of margins, this can be the kind of, at the EBITDA level, this can be the kind of recurring margins that we can look at, sir, for the business?
I suppose. Yes.
Okay. Right. So, and the other thing is, in terms of insulin launch, there's been a recent, news saying that there could, insulin, would be allowed some price increase. I mean, though it is typically under DPCO, there could be some price increase which would be allowed by, MNCs. So if you could just share your views on that, and can that actually, kind of improve our, margins, marketing margins on insulin per se, and does it make the business more attractive for us?
We are not in insulin as of now. We haven't launched insulin as of now. Okay.
Right. I mean, as we...
And insulin is a price control product, and we are governed by the pricing which the government gives. Recently, government has given a price increase to insulin for the local manufacturers, and that will get applicable to us also.
Okay.
But insulin diabetes is a long haul. It's require a lot of investment. It's a different field altogether. So therefore investments will be there in the next as we get into insulin there.
Okay. So you won't see a very significant impact in the near term. So it would be
not because it's first of all the price control products, so the margins itself are lower. Plus,
okay.
There's a lot of investments in getting into a good market share,
okay.
In the marketing strategies. There are a lot of strong players there, so we need to compete in the marketplace there.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, it's more of an investment game in a few years.
Okay. Thanks, sir. Great, sir. Thanks a lot.
So.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Vikas Sonavale of Religare Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Sir, I had a question on the staff cost. If I look at the last three quarters, I mean, reworking numbers for last quarter's 4 month and converting them into 3 month number, the average staff cost per quarter is about 45 odd crore. This quarter we have reported, probably close to 60 crore number. Partially I can understand because of hiring in diabetes and, CNS segment. But can you just highlight in terms of what would be the normalized run rate, and is there any gratuity related, item in this particular quarter which is also there in the corresponding quarter? So just wanted to get clarity on staff cost, sir.
Overall, our staff cost is up by about 14%. So if you really take in relation to sales growth, it's not so very bad. This quarter has seen an increase of about 450 people versus the same period last quarter. So that itself jacks up the average wage bill there. So therefore, it's purely driven by the number of employee base what we have here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And obviously, there will always be quarterly fluctuation on the AS15, that is the retail benefit, the discount rate, what the actuaries use. Sometimes it's favorable. This time it has been more or less favorable to us, so we had a benefit of that also. So it keeps varying based quarter to quarter on discount rates. But otherwise, the rate is driven by the higher employee base.
Okay, so can we assume this 55, 60 crore odd run rate, or can we assume just 15-16% YOY increase?
I think we're sitting on a 58-60 crore. I think that should continue as we move along. That run rate should continue.
Okay. And secondly, sir, on the ICDs, what is the rate of interest that we are getting?
10.5% ICDs. But effective this month, that is August, there are no more ICDs. All ICDs have been repaid back by the subsidiary to Pfizer.
Okay, so it was there in the annual report till March. So
it was there till end of June.
Okay.
Effective August, just a couple of days back, it has been settled.
The total amount, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. So, can you also highlight more on the, aggressive investment in geographic expansion and, what do you mean by key prescribers? So, are you targeting, select therapy doctors, or how is it going? When you say, you are increased focus on key prescribers and also on emphasis on performance management, is that what leading to higher attrition rate of about 25% odd?
on the first point is, for us, GPs, CPs, and specialists are all key prescribers. We're improving our coverage or doctor coverage in all three segments, and that's how additional field force has come in. Where we are adding specialist field force, we are targeting that specialist doctors there for diabetes or for CNS. But otherwise, for general physician and GPs, RR also are prescribers for us. Okay, hence, all our expansion is towards increasing the doctor coverage in these two, these three segments there. Regarding to performance management, it's more in terms of metrics for evaluating where are we adding people, how many doctors we've added, what is the coverage, what is geographic coverage, how many towns have we added there, what is productivity I'm getting there. So that's the kind of performance management we have to understand the effectiveness of our expansion. Coming to iteration is the industry scene. We are no different here. Every industry, every company is growing, so there has always be iterations there. So there, it's not in relation to performance management, but generally in the industry, we do have high iteration.
Okay, and sir, finally, you know, you mentioned about, you know, pharma division, which has been realigned in the annual report. So can you can you talk more about that?
No, we just created multiple smaller BUs within the pharma division to bring focus on our, as we added people. Earlier, we just had one single pharma unit, but now that one single pharma unit, we broke it up into two or three subunits so that we're able to optimize on our field force effectively.
Okay, and sir, final on the product launches, you know, I believe you have launched 7 key products, and now you're also talking about 18-20 products in the branded generic space. So can you just break it into normal Pfizer products, which are like traditional therapy products, and also in terms of branded?
I said we have logged about 8 crores of sales from branded generics in this quarter.
No, in terms of number of products, when you say branded, 20
products.
They're
all branded generics. All launches are branded generics.
And non-branded, which would like, you know, normal Pfizer portfolio products?
We haven't had much of a launch of a Pfizer molecules. All of them have been branded generics.
Okay, so yeah, thanks.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Chirag Dagli of ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Sir, one quick question on, we've seen some of the branded generics that you've launched, despite being 48 at the time of launch, you've, you know, gained market share very meaningfully over 2 years. Is there a preference that doctors give to MNC products? Is there such a trend that you are seeing in specific category of products where, you know, doctors prefer an MNC brand over, over a traditional, say some of the other companies, or perhaps which are the, are you eating away market share from the tail end of the market or from the top Indian guys? Any color whatsoever in your experience, you know what it is?
Yeah, sure. Good question. Actually, all our branded generics are not in the same size the way we want them to be. Some of them do well, some of them don't do well. The average success ratio in industry is around 60-odd%. So therefore, we also in a similar range there. Some of them, we are able to make some differentiation through a Pfizer science to say why we are different. We've been within the pack of 40 or 50, as you said about. So that makes some difference. And secondly, I think Pfizer science makes an impact on the doctor fraternity. And there's a trust for Pfizer is there. And hence, it makes it a little more easier for us to sell our products to the doctors and promote our products to doctors there. So therefore, some products are bigger, others are not as big. So it's a fairly fair mix of it. And what doctor interests doctor, I think doctor does interest for some differentiation, and that's what we're trying to do with some of our products, what we can.
Which categories would you say that Pfizer has some differentiation through the science in the doctor's perception?
We have launched a product in analgesic, which we felt we had a pretty good product there. We also have in CVS we launched a product which we thought we had a differentiation there. So those are the two areas where we've done reasonably well. When it comes to CNS now, we probably will have bring Pfizer science behind CNS. We have a combination of Pfizer molecules and branded generics in CNS. So that's where probably we'll bring a differentiation there. Anti-infective has been more or less generic. I mean, everybody has anti-infective. I'm no different than anybody else there. But when it comes to CVS, when it comes to analgesic, when it comes to CNS, I think we'll be a differentiation there.
So can you name the products where you're creating differentiation in CNS, CVS, the ones that you already launched?
I wouldn't want to get a product specific there for the time being, but because that's more of an internal thing there. But rest assured, these are three categories where we could make a difference.
Okay, and do you think this differentiation you'll be able to bring to the table over the next, you know, in terms of newer products as well in future?
It depends on product to product. For example, if I get into a pack which is generic, it'll be very difficult for me. But where I feel that I have a little improved play there, I definitely will try to make for it. It's very difficult to answer the question because it depends on product to product.
No, I understand. I appreciate that. Second question was on your, do we have any plans whatsoever for the rural market? Is there any test or any pilot project we're doing, or, you know, do we have any successful examples there?
Not for the time being, Chirag.
In any of the micro markets which you think, you know, have been successful and then...
No, not for the time being, no.
So at the moment, as far as your plan of action goes, you'll continue to focus on the Tier 1, Tier 2 cities, and you think there is enough growth over there?
We have been getting enough growth. Our products, as a result of the economy of India growing, our products do reach rural through demand. We don't promote it, but products do go to rural. So it's not that we are not present in rural, but we are not actually promoting in rural.
Okay. And internally, when you look at the recent slowdown in the overall Indian market, when you look at the IMS data, what is the thought internally? Is there a cause of concern? Do you internally view this as a temporary blip? Do you think market will slow down? Or is there a genuine concern there structurally, something that investors need to worry about?
I don't know. See, anti-infective is, we are dependent a lot on anti-infective, and we have seen a slowdown impacting the anti-infective growth for the last two quarters. The vitamin market has slowed down there, and we have Bicosis which is sitting there. So therefore, as of now, 14% is a good growth for industry. It's not a bad growth at all. We have always maintained a 14-15% growth is a good denominator for managing the industry expectations. Earlier it was 19-20%. We always thought it was over-related. To a large extent, maybe some companies have stopped giving FGO schemes, and therefore, to the extent the market is not valuing them there, hence it becomes a realistic 14-15. So around 14-15 is a good growth, Chirag. It's not a concerning growth.
And there is no base effect here which you're worried about or, do you think there is any element of base effect coming into play here?
Not really. The only area of concern I have is in terms of Bicosis, where I'm seeing a little slowdown there. But with our marketing program, we should be able to come over that.
Perfect. And, sir, one small request. We've been having regular calls on Pfizer and on Viyash we've not been. So, one feedback would we would appreciate if such quarterly interaction would also be there in case of Viyash.
Like I said last time, I'll take your feedback and we'll talk to Kevin and we'll get back.
Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you, Mr. Dagli. Our next question is from the line of Krishna Prasad of JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon and thanks for taking my question. Just a couple. First, on the pharma growth, if I look at your segmental breakup, so the pharma growth for the quarter was about 10%. Is that correct?
No, it's about 14%, yeah.
Okay, because, if I look at your segmental breakup, you have about... roughly 2,100 crores and 13 crores for the base period.
Which one are you referring to?
On your press release, if I look
yeah.
at the...
Yeah,
the segment.
Press release shows how much? No, sales.
Just the sales, the segment revenue numbers that you have. Of
yeah, that'll be around 14%, yeah, for pharma.
Okay, all right. The other thing I wanted to ask you was, would it be possible to sort of give a number for how much would the Pfizer molecules be a part of your total sales at this point?
I'm sorry?
Contribution of Pfizer molecules as a percentage. I mean, apart from your branded generics, in the recent past, the launches from your parent company's portfolio, if you could give a sense on what the contribution is and also how you're seeing that panning out.
No, new products are roughly around 3 to 4% of our sales, the branded generic.
Right. I mean, from products which have been launched from the parent company's portfolio, the patented ones?
Patented ones are very few. Actually, we have only Champix in India, so really one such patented product here. But we do have other products like Viagra, and we have Lyrica from the Pfizer stable, but not patented.
All right, okay. And also, just lastly, if you can give me the cash position.
Around 550 crores as of June.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. Our next question is from the line of Deepak Malik of MK Global. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question. Sir, first question is on the macro front. I want to understand on two things. One is in anti-infective and respiratory. I'm taking it forward from the earlier question from Chirag. That what is this due to the phenomena in North, the seasonal effect, that only these two categories have been impacted in the growth?
I really don't know. What I've been told is the hospital business is slightly down, and as a result, the anti-infective business is impacted for the last two quarters, and that's what is the stated position. Vitamin minerals, there's no real specific reason per se.
Which is happening to the hospital?
The hospital is what is impacting the anti-infective.
Okay. And in anti-infective, we have launched a few products, I believe.
Yeah.
How many products we have launched?
One second. Anti-infective, I have launched 1, 2, 3 products.
Can you name the products, please?
We launched a product called Jetex. We launched a product called Cefixim. We launched a product called Jetex Suspension.
Jetex Suspension. Okay, sir. And, sir, in your earlier comments, you said that you are now improving your presence in anti-infectives. So, what does that mean? Is it mean that we are improving in the geographies or product-wise or both we are?
Both.
Both. So, so there is any new hiring in this space also, in anti-infectives also, sir?
No, we're not hiring specifically for the therapeutic area. We're hiring it for the organization.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have any specific anti-infective kind of a sales team. We have a reach team. We have a specific therapeutic focus team. But it's part of, but anti-infective forms in a larger mass team.
Okay. Because earlier, we said total 450 new people have been hired. And in that, 150 in CNS, 150 in anti-diabetes, and rest 150...
vacancies, filling out vacancies, etc.
Okay, sir. Okay.
The last quarter, yeah.
Okay. And in CNS portfolio, sir, we have also launched few products. If you can name those also, sir, it will be great.
Yes, we have launched only one product as of now. It is Levifree. Okay.
Levifree.
Yeah, that's the product we have launched as of now.
Okay, sir. And, sir, in this, in the 14% growth, if you can just break it down, how much anti-infective and respiratory has grown for us?
We don't comment on the therapeutic-wise growth by internal, but okay. You can refer to OAJ IMS for Pfizer growth as per therapeutic areas.
Okay, sir. Okay. Thank you for taking my question, sir. I'll be in view.
Thank you, Mr. Malik. Our next question is from the line of Arpit Kapoor of UTI Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for taking my question. This is with reference to a news article which came in where we are planning to collaborate with ITC to sell some of our OTC products. If you can throw some light on the same.
That's not nothing to do with Pfizer Limited here.
Okay, so that would be with the... So none of our products will go in because the news article stated... Bicushul's also being one of the products.
We could look at options, but currently Pfizer products are not there. But we could look at options.
Okay, so those as of now, none of the products that we sell in India would be a part of that relationship.
None of the products which Pfizer Limited sells is part of the transaction.
Okay. Right. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Kapoor. Ladies and gentlemen, before we take the next round of questions, we'd like to remind participants that you may enter star followed by one to ask a question. The next question is a follow-up from the line of Bhavin Shah of Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks. My question is answered. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is another follow-up from the line of Sudarshan Dhamal of Allied Partners. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for taking my call. My question is regarding insulin.
I'm sorry to interrupt. So, are you on a speakerphone?
Yeah, I'm on the
Please, could you switch to your handset while you're asking your question?
Can you take my call a bit later? I'll just switch my phone in the meantime.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Ladies and gentlemen, participants who wish to ask a question may please enter star and then one now. We have a question from the line of Pavan Kumar of Capital Market. Please go ahead.
Hi, Sridhar.
Paul.
Sir, could you give me some throw some color on E3 board that we have launched in S2 CY10, as well as growth rates for Dolonex and Zelifield and Corby?
I don't give really product-wise growth rate, but all I can say is that Jelusil and Dolonex are at good double-digit growth. Okay.
Okay.
And what is the first question? Equio. What is the first question?
Yeah, we have launched in S2 CY10. So how it's doing?
I'm sorry, which product?
Equio.
Equio. Equio is a acetaminophen and paracetamol combination.
Okay.
It's in the pain segment there. It's been reasonably well there. It was launched in about last year. It was launched. It's for acute pain.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how much it contributed for this quarter?
It's very each product is very small. We cannot really quantify at a product level, but roughly we are doing on an average of we have done about 60 odd lakhs in the last 3 months.
Okay. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Sandeep Talwar of Banyan Tree Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for taking my question.
Yeah.
Can you talk a bit about salary structure and unionization profile of Wyeth MRs versus Pfizer MRs?
Oh, I'm sorry. That's not scope of this call. Please, I'm sorry.
Okay. We last year absorbed around 300 MRs from Wyeth. Was the offer made to all MRs and only 300 MRs chose to switch, or was it made only to a limited profile of Wyeth MRs?
No, let me just correct it there. We did not make an offer to Wyeth MRs, okay? Consequent to the acquisition of Wyeth by Pfizer Inc., it's as Pfizer follows a very stringent marketing and sales practices, it's important to have a uniform practices for across all healthcare practitioners in the country. And hence, it becomes easy if all the employees are all based in one company so that they access common systems and platforms. If there are infrastructure already set up in place, we don't have to duplicate the infrastructures and the softwares. So it's easy to monitor. So hence, we had a job offer posting, and people who offered to join us, we took them on, and they continue to promote Wyeth products.
Okay. So is it fair to say that the MRs who are still with Wyeth, they are only promoting vaccines, and everybody who is doing tablets, capsule, oral pharmaceutical products is on Pfizer's books?
No. There is no mixing of product in Pfizer and Wyeth. There's a dedicated people promoting Wyeth tablets and products and vaccines. So there's no mixed people between the field are mixed in Pfizer.
Okay, so the Pfizer, the Wyeth, the MRs who are promoting Wyeth products, they continue and are on Pfizer's books. They may be promoting orals, they might be promoting vaccines as well. Is that a fair conclusion?
There's a separate team for vaccines and for orals. So
within Pfizer also?
Yeah, within Pfizer also, yeah.
Fair. Another question I had was regarding, like, once we start marketing insulin, which will require cold chain for logistical purposes, would we be setting up a parallel cold chain and logistics chain, or would we be riding on Wyeth's cold chain?
No, we're setting up our own cold chain.
Parallel. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Talwar. Our next question is from the line of Sudarshan Dhamal of Allied Partners. Please go ahead.
My call, sir. This was regarding insulin, which you are launching because of the agreement with Biocon. Is this insulin or all the future insulins which you are going to launch, will it be routed through only the listed arm of Pfizer, or some business may go outside also, sir?
Currently, we haven't launched insulin as of now.
Mm-hmm.
The current plans are Pfizer Limited will launch it shortly.
Okay. So as you said, insulin is something, business which is of long haul, and So do you think when this business gets some critical mass, this will be a margin dilutive for Pfizer as such, just because you'll be earning only marketing margins because the manufacturing would be done by Biocon and it's under the price control?
No, it's like any other product we are launching, Sudarshan. Mm-hmm. We also buy P2P products from other manufacturers also.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, there is obviously margin erosion because of price control.
Mm-hmm.
But we are not new to price control. We are used to because of the price control. So we are in that game there. But yes, this requires a far more in marketing investments than other products there. And obviously, to the extent there will always be as a standalone, this will see a very low margin.
Okay. So on the product launches, as you said, in Q1 you have launched around 4 products. So what sort of number was there for last 12 months or 16 months?
Around 20-odd products.
20-odd products.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks for answering.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Ashish Rathi of Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
No, thanks. All my questions have been answered.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we'd like to remind participants once again that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Ragesh Ranganathan of Doric Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good evening. Thanks for arranging this call. A couple of questions. One is with respect to insulin, which you had discussed with the previous caller as well. As you correctly mentioned, it's a price control product. Margins are low. But still it's something which you are seem to be keen on and seem to want to make investments behind. Can you explain to us what is the longer term objective of entering this business?
First of all, it's a growing, diabetes is a growing segment in India. It's one of the fastest growing category. There's lots of diabetic patients, and therefore as a therapeutic presence, it's sensible to be present in a high-growing therapeutic area. And also, as the economy develops, as the economy grows, diabetes will be a key treatment requirement for India. That's one. Second, with regard to insulin, we were lucky to have a Pfizer tying with Biocon, and hence we have access to the Biocon products there. So it's more of the outcome of the insulin is the outcome of the Pfizer tie-up with Biocon.
But so despite it being a margin, because diabetes as a segment would have many possible drugs that you can target it through, it's not that you necessarily have to do insulin, or you could refuse that if it's not in the best interest of the listed company, no?
Okay. We also have orals. We also launched orals in diabetes. Okay. It's not that it's orals and an insulin. Insulin complements oral. Because beyond a particular level of diabetes, they have to move on to insulin. So it's a partner in progress kind of a thing. Just buying in oral, you will not be able to cover the full high growth therapeutic area of insulin, of diabetes. So hence, it's a very complementary business, insulin and orals.
Mm-hmm. And if you, the second question was with respect to some of the products which Pfizer has access to, especially in the biosimilars or otherwise, will that be something you would plan to launch in India in various therapeutic categories that you may be interested in?
No, we are looking at various options as we grow on our growth strategy. It's not just branded generics. We also could look at biosimilars, but it's as and when it comes in. I mean, there's no real focus only biosimilar kind of a search there. If something comes in our way, we roughly will look at it.
And a few years ago, you had the issue that most of your sales force was not targeting chronic therapies because of the product mix. And you've embarked on a program to somewhat fix that. Do you feel comfortable that you are there already and that further investment in marketing organization will be limited going ahead? How should we look at that for the future?
No, so chronic is just, we have been generally been a little low in front of the presence. So diabetes and with CNS are the two initiatives. It really helps us to get into a chronic in a bigger way there. So a little more therapy-focused area of launch is what we plan to do. So that's where.
So you would expect that the rate of investment that you've been doing for the past 2 years will continue?
We should. I mean, branded generics is growing. In terms of field force, I think we have to do the field force connection first because we need field force to launch a branded generics. So I think we managed to get a decent size of field force, 2,500. Now we get products to, you know, ride onto them. Yeah. So
you don't think the field force by itself needs to increase from here, so it's about productivity here on?
Exactly.
All right. And with respect to the future, let's say there are products which are from the Wyatt stable or products from the Pfizer stable. Is there clarity on which of the two companies, or you also have 100% listed, is there some clarity that you can give us in terms of how you would approach which company would get to launch those products in India?
Like I said, both the companies have a very complementary business structures. One is strong in women's health portfolio and vaccines. Other companies very strong in other areas. So therefore, whichever products we launch, if they fit into whichever group, will go there. So there's no hard and fast rule. Both companies are equally growing in their own right, and they have their own strong therapeutic dominance in those segments.
Mm-hmm. And the recent slowdown that we've seen in the last couple of months, is there any reason that you attribute to it? Do you think it'll continue or is it just a blip?
No, I think around 14 to 15% is a good growth for our industry, as even currently and going forward. And that's also what McKinsey also, you know, as industry, that's what is coping. So you say 14 to 15 is not a bad growth at all. I mean, it's a pretty decent growth.
So you think that's the trend, really, and what we saw over the last 2 years may have been...
If it stabilizes at 14 to 15, we are very happy. Anything above that, like 19% was always aberration. We always wondered how, you know, it's a pretty high kind of a growth there. So sustaining that would be difficult. So 14 to 15 is reasonable.
But you don't think it will fall back to the 10, 11% that we used to see 4, 5 years ago?
That I don't know. I hope not, because all companies are investing, they're growing. I don't see any specific reason for it to slow down. Nothing has changed in the economy, nothing has changed anywhere. So I don't see a reason why it should go down. I presume it will hold at this current rate.
And last question, government has been making quite a few possible alternatives on increasing drug availability to weaker sections, also looking at increased price controls. Do you have any clarity on where we stand on that?
The government hasn't really come out with any kind of firm plans. The only thing what they have done is they have published a national list of essential medicines 2011, a couple of months back. There is a discussion going on to say, do we bring all the drugs under NLEM under price control? That's not the conversation the government is having with various company bodies, industry bodies. And hence, we are talking to them to say how that should be implemented or what should be implemented, what should the process be. So the conversation is happening on how do we really try to cover NLEM under price control.
And you have any expectation on what is the most likely outcome?
I don't know. There are a couple of committees set up, have given various thought options there. So it depends on which direction government takes on there. Obviously, if it comes through, there will be impact on pricing across the industry, not just Pfizer, because NLEM covers wide array of molecules. It's not just limited to 74 odd drugs in the DPCO. So there will be some impact of it. There will be an impact, obviously. You know, wait and watch to say which direction government takes on, how do they really fix the price. That's important. It's a wait and watch game. We are talking to them, we are representing to them, and let's see what happens.
Let's assume that the worst case happens is that all the drugs come under price control from the NLEM list. What would be the impact on Pfizer?
Well, it's very difficult to say, because NLEM is not very clear on how they're going to implement price control under NLEM. Okay, NLEM currently talks of single molecules. It doesn't talk much about combinations, etc. If they bring in all the combination, etc., into the system, there will be a decent coverage across the industry, including Pfizer. So it depends on. The current reading NLEM doesn't really tell me what it is, so I'm not able to comment on what will be the coverage be. It all depends.
And what percentage of your sales, let's say, comes from NLEM? Last question.
That's what I'm saying. Currently, NNM is single molecule based. Mm. There's not much of combinations there. And whereas industry has a lot of combinations there. So we really don't know which direction. If they focus only on single molecules, then obviously impact will be lower. However, if they try to bring combinations in the picture, it will go up to around 60-70% of the industry.
And of yours will also be similar?
Mine, we need to assess it maybe or maybe less or maybe in the same range, a little lower.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. Our last question is from the line of Meet Shetty of DNB. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello, sir. Meeta here.
Hey, Meeta.
Sir, just wanted to check on when we'll be launching the insulin in domestic market.
This should happen this month, Meeta.
This month.
Yeah.
Okay. And we have already added around 150 MRs for insulin particularly. So are we looking at adding more MRs for insulin maybe now or maybe 6 months down the line?
I'm sorry?
We've already added 150 MRs for this insulin particularly, right?
Yes.
So are we looking at some more additions in the next 6 to 8 months for this particular product?
No, insulin, currently I think we're reasonably okay. It depends on how our initial launch success is. Then we'll take a call based on that. Otherwise, currently we're happy with this.
So 150 is what the figure should be?
Yeah.
Okay, and just lastly, is it fair to assume that because it's going to be a DPC product and it's been sourced from a domestic player, the pricing will be in line with the sourcing, compared to Biocon?
Yeah.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Shetty. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr. S. Sridhar for final remarks.
Hello. Thanks for all the questions. We had a decent result this quarter, and looking forward to speaking to you next quarter again. Thanks a lot. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sridhar and Mr. Nair. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Pfizer, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us on the Chorus Call conferencing service. You may now disconnect your line.